We're good?
We're good.
All right. We're good. What's up, freaks? It's your boy Marty here to introduce this rip of Rabbit Hole Recap. A lot going on.
You're back.
Am I back?
You're reading the ad again. You're introing. It's been so long.
It's been a few weeks. Been busy. This rip was brought to you by our good friends down the hall, Unchained Capital. If you're looking to buy Bitcoin right now, in size, the guys down the hall have the trading platform for you. You buy Bitcoin, and it goes straight to multi-sig cold storage. There's no leaving it on the exchange. There's no having to move it off. You set up a vault. You set up a trading account. You buy Bitcoin. It goes straight to that multi-sig cold storage. Peace of mind. Immediately. You send the money. You get the Bitcoin. You don't even have to think about it. Go to unchained.com/trading and set up a trading account with Unchained. Tell them the TFTC sent you. Just tell them they sent that we sent you, or RHR, one of the two. Just tell them we sent you. They'll say, hey, that's pretty cool. That's pretty sweet. Unchained.com/trading. This trip was also brought to you by our good friends who made this thing, the Block Clock, QuinKite. QuinKite produces the best hardware in the space, the most secure hardware. They have their MK4, which has two secure elements, allows you to create private public key pairs offline, air gapped. You can add entropy easily with dice rolls. It's got NFC compatibility. They just announced their Q1, which is a bigger hardware device with QR scanning capabilities, NFC capabilities, battery. You can run it on a battery or a USB-C cable. It's the best hardware. Two secure elements as well. You can add entropy, do the same things as MK4. You just get more buttons and the ability to scan QR codes. You also have their SATS card and the tap signers, which are card form factors. SATS card allows you to load, tap the card on the back of your phone, click the link, takes you to an address where you can load it up and then hand it to somebody, bearer instrument for Bitcoin. Tap signer is a private key that you can add to a multi-sig or a single sig quorum, compatible with apps like Nunchuck. It's a beautiful thing. Go to coinkite.com, check out all their products, get the Block Clock, get the MK4. Sign up for the pre-sale for Q1, if it's still going on. It's SATS card, the tap signer, SATS chip, all that good shit. Use the code RHR. Don't know if it works. Try it out. Ta-ki!
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Just going to wing it. Got the cowboy hat on. It's a little late on a Thursday. Bitcoin sitting at $28,207, according to my Block Clock. And the world still on unstable ground right now. Is it happening, Matt?
All I know is someone made an even crazier prediction than 200K by conference day, so I'm just going to sip it in, stay humble.
Yeah, it's not that crazy. Recorded with Matthew Mazinkius this morning, and we looked at the historical price movements in Bitcoin. And if Bitcoin were to make a 2011-like move, it would be like we could hit $1 million. A 3.5 sigma move to $1 million would not be a historical anomaly. It has happened once before in Bitcoin's history. But looking at the data, it's a 0.07% chance. But there is a chance.
Look, it's a bold call, but I don't want everyone to forget my mempool call, because the mempools are looking quite busy out there right now.
So here they are. At a mempool.space. We currently have
220. I got Marty to double down on the bet.
Fuck. 220. How many is that, Sway? 100 grand?
And the adjust up, so it's going to get fucking crazy out there.
Yeah. Well, it's a good segue. Let's go to Clark's dashboard. According to Clax Clark's dashboard. Clark's dashboard. The price of Bitcoin is 28,160 cuckbucks. One cuckbuck's going to get you 3,552 sats. We are currently sitting at a $544.1 billion market cap. We are at block height 782,201, which means we are exactly seven blocks from the next difficulty retarget. May happen during this recording. As of right now, it most likely will be around 7.4% upward adjustment. Block's been coming in at 9 minutes and 19 seconds on average. We mentioned that there was 221 blocks in the mempool, or the mempools. According to Clark's dashboard, he has almost 34,000 transactions in his mempool. There are currently 6,793.46 Bitcoin in unspent capacity on Samurai's Whirlpool. I believe that's significantly higher than it was last week and the week before. That is $191.3 million in unspent value. A lot going on. Price, 28,160. Took a bit of a beating yesterday, but it bounced right back. Is it happening, Matt? Are we going to hit $1 million in 84 days?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Look, if Balaji's correct, that'd be pretty fucking insane. And, shit would be pretty dark out there, in my opinion. But if he is correct, you know, that would mean we were tracking to 200. Just put that out there. That's not my prediction or anything. It's just because what the Bitcoin 2023 is in 2 months. Yeah. So that would sound about right.
200K like by conference day. You heard it here first.
No one said that. I'm just saying that if he was correct, that's what we'd be tracking towards.
You heard it here first many years ago, but you're hearing it here again today.
But mempools will not clear again. That one I will that hat in the ring.
Okay. Your internet, Matt's internet's.
I'm feeling that fee FOMO.
That fee FOMO, that Wi-Fi FOMO.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Where do we start here? Let's start with the bet. Do you think he really thinks that Bitcoin's going to hit $1 million, or do you think the bit signal he's trying to send out is get off the exchanges, get into Bitcoin as quickly as possible, and get out away from the banking system because they're going to try and shut off the ramps?
It's a rich man's marketing ploy. Yeah, he doesn't actually think it'll hit $1 million in 90 days. He probably thinks it's going to hit like a humble 350K in 90 days. And it's his way of getting people's attention. And everyone's talking about it, obviously, because who doesn't want to talk about that? But really, the story is the crumbling trust in our financial institutions and the continued debasement of the U.S. dollar, which is. And I think that's become apparent to many, many more people than ever before. And as that becomes more apparent, I think people will start to realize that Bitcoin is here as our lifeboat, but you have to choose whether or not you get on it. You know, that's your prerogative.
Yeah, you'll get Bitcoin at the price you deserve. Harsh but true words. And yeah, I mean, big theme, obviously, over the last 3 weeks, the banking crisis. 2 weeks ago, we talked about SVB. We were recording in the middle of that failure last week, obviously. Was the aftermath of SVB going under, Signature going under, the Fed stepping in. And fast forward to this week, the contagion spread over to Europe. Credit Suisse had to get bailed out by the Swiss National Bank, and then was eventually acquired by UBS. And it doesn't look very good, even though they were acquired. And I think this is an opportunity to pull up Chairman Powell. Federal Reserve Chairman Powell on Capitol Hill yesterday after the Fed announced they're raising rates. They hiked rates by 25 bips, which was below the 50 bips that was expected a few weeks ago, but right on target with where expectations adjusted after all these bank failures. And he was forced to comment on Credit Suisse and what's going on over in Europe. And I think this clip, 47 seconds, is very unnerving because this does not seem like a confident man. There's a lot of body language tells here that would make me believe that the most powerful man in central banking is not confident in the state of the banking system globally right now. So let's hit it, Logan.
I'm wondering if you could go to the Credit Suisse merger. I mean, wasn't that the big gorilla in the room? Didn't you breathe a sigh of relief when that merger happened? Thanks.
Sure. So, you know, that was really the Swiss government. We, of course, were following it over the course of the weekend, and we were engaged with their authorities in the way that you would expect, all the ways that you would expect. It seems to have been a positive outcome in the sense that the transaction was agreed to, and it has been the markets have accepted it, and it seems to have gone well. And I think there was a concern that it might not go well. So coming into the middle of this week, yes, I would say that has gone well. So far.
So far, very, very important phrase there. Started out with a nervous laugh, into a deep breath, into some word stumbling, into some eye blinking, into some face touching. For reading body language right now, that's not a very confident man in that statement. Things are precarious right now. These people are freaking the fuck out. You're muted.
I mean, he shouldn't be confident at all right now, right? So,
no, and you couple, it's not surprising. No, but you pair that with Janet Yellen. She was forced to change her tune within 24 hours. Yesterday, she said they probably weren't going to bail out all depositors throughout the U.S. banking system. And she was forced to change her language today and say, hey, if they need the money, we can probably produce it and backstop everybody. I don't think we're out of the woods yet. Maybe in the eye of the storm here.
Yeah, I mean, the Yellen thing was pretty bad. That wasn't a presser. That was like her talking to Congress people or whatever, right?
She had prepared remarks that she was going to say, and they get released before the testimony, and she was forced to edit that section of the remarks to change the language.
Yeah, that was... There's very little confidence out there. Good thing we have Bitcoin. I can sleep easy at night. Hopefully the freaks can too. We're the few. There's very few that can. Most people are just blissfully ignorant right now still. The point Balaji is trying to make, right? Get some attention here to like how bad this could be.
Yeah. Agree. Discussed that with Matthew this morning. As well, obviously, he's over in Riga, Latvia, and not roaming throughout the U.S. economy, running into everyday Americans. And he was curious, like, are people freaking out at the grocery store? And it's like, no, not yet. People are blissfully unaware, which is also a bit unnerving, is the amount of shock that could be injected into the system.
Yeah, we do live in our own little bubble.
Yeah. I mean, we mentioned Credit Suisse getting bailed out by Swiss National Bank, then getting ultimately bought by UBS. What happened in that situation is, I believe, Tier 8, T1 bondholders essentially got wiped out. And that seems to have been a misstep by the Swiss authorities, or the European authorities, whoever okayed that, because that is making there's fear spreading throughout European banks, and people are beginning to dump that tier of bond at other banks. So that's causing some problems, and then credit default swap spreads are beginning to widen for a bunch of European banks. UBS's, I believe their rating went down almost immediately after acquiring Credit Suisse. The cost of insuring against Deutsche Bank default jumped in a violent move post market today. Obviously, we had was a First Republic. They seem to be in a bit of trouble, down 90%. The stock is this week, and yeah, it's a bit crazy out there. Thank God we have Bitcoin is right. And then in the Bitcoin / crypto world, it seems like the regulatory crackdown is coming. Many people are, there's two things here. Obviously, the SEC sent out Wells notices to Coinbase and others. Justin Sun from Tron got one as well. Coinbase is saying publicly, I mean, Brian Armstrong set the tweet thread out saying that it's attacking the staking services, similar to how they attack Kraken. But if you actually read the Wells notice, they mention spot exchange trading as well, which would allude that they were giving users access to unregistered securities. So it may be bigger than the staking services. So that's the first aspect of the regulatory crackdown. And then obviously there's a lot of rumor spreading on Twitter, seem to be validated via screenshots that banks are beginning to limit the amount of money that individuals can send to exchanges, whether or not that's because particular exchanges like Kraken and Coinbase have been determined as entities to stay away from, or if there's an attempt to prevent the flow of funds out of the incumbent banking system and into Bitcoin. I think may have a contrarian view in the space. I'm not sure if it's choke point 2.0 and more the former, where the banks are like, hey, you shouldn't be sending this much money to these companies getting SERP well notices right now.
Well, I mean, it's important to realize that both Silvergate and Signature had their respective products that made it very easy to transfer dollars between the exchanges, right?
So, send Signet.
Yeah. So for like the first time in however many years, we're back to a situation where there's different price. Have you noticed that? Like Bitfinex was trading at a premium over Coinbase or vice versa. Like there's actually like arbitrage again has popped up. So definitely because of those two banks, are out of the picture now, we have noticed, some additional friction. There's been pressure on Prime Trust for a while. We've been talking about that on air for a long time, which does back a lot of the brokerage services. But yeah, I don't know how calculated everything is. Signature felt really calculated. It felt like that was a, you do feel the narrative. I feel the scapegoat narrative of like the Bitcoin bros. We obviously, this isn't true. First off, but like the Bitcoin bros like had FTX and then FTX blew up and then that caused all of this shit. And like when they built up over fucking 2-3 decades of poor fucking management of our financial infrastructure, when that all blows up, they're like, oh, it all started with the fucking Bitcoin bros. And that narrative is probably going to get hotter as the economic crisis kind of unfolds, regardless if it's an attack on the on-ramp. It seems like that's what's happening right now.
Agreed. And we discussed this last week. This is fully a function of the Federal Reserve pulling dollars out of the market. There's simply too much debt, not enough dollars. If you hike rates and pull dollars out of the system, something's going to break eventually. And it makes intuitive sense that the things that would break first would be the riskiest of the assets, which if we go all the way back to Terra Luna last year, that was certainly out on the far end of the risk curve. And then you move in Celsius, BlockFi, FTX, all go down as well. It makes sense that they would fall first, but yes, they will likely be used as a scapegoat to point to Bitcoin and quote-unquote crypto as a patsy for mishandled monetary policy over the last two decades.
Yeah, and then as far as like whatever people are calling it, I mean, I think that the only safe assumption here is that it's going to be harder to get Bitcoin via regulated entities in the future. And if we're wrong, that's great. But if we're right, you need to get your act together today. I mean, I know me and you, Marty, like we've been all in for such a long fucking time, but like if would not feel comfortable trying to like trade this and like, oh, like I can get back into Bitcoin, you know, in like 2 months or 3 months or 6 months. Like, who the fuck knows? You know, obviously, like the P2P exchanges will be fine. You know, Peach, HODL, RoboSats, BISC, local circular economies, you know, hopefully they continue to flourish. And you'll be able to get Bitcoin that way. But if you think that transfer $500,000 through Coinbase and then self-custody Bitcoin, you might not be able to. I think that is like a reasonable assumption to make. And if we're wrong, we're wrong. But if we're right, then, you know, now's your shot. You know, you've got a generational shot that you might be passing by.
Yeah, if we're right and you take advantage of it, you're going to be very happy. If we're wrong and you take advantage of it, you're not going to be that worse off. Definitely err on the side of caution.
Still better than the banks.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Wells notices for a bit. Obviously not surprising. There's a lot of kvetching coming out of the cryptosphere. People white knighting for Coinbase and others who've been served Wells notices. But for anybody who's been around the space and listened to the way the SEC particularly has been posturing for many years now, this is something that was very expected and should not surprise anybody. It's something that Matt and I on the show many times over the last 4.5 years have been beating the drum on, like, hey, the SEC is eventually going to clamp down on all this unregistered security offerings, like prepare for that. And now that it's here, everybody's pearl clutching and saying, oh my God, the SEC didn't give us guidance. And it's simply not true. They've been given guidance for at least almost the better part of a decade right now. And they've said, we're going to move slow, but when we do move, we're going to move. And they're moving right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's like everything that, first of all, once again, the SEC can go fuck themselves. Like, I'm not one of those Bitcoiners that's like rooting for the SEC to take down shitcoins and shit. I heading to zero regardless. And it, you know, we don't need a government violence to make it happen. But this is just another case of something that we've talked about for years. And then you just watch it happen and everyone just acts so fucking surprised. Like, how surprised are all you people going to be when USDC gets taken out behind the shed and shot? Like, you guys going to all pretend like, oh my God, I can't believe this is crypto's last stand or whatever? Like, no, like, you got to build systems that are resistant to fucking interference at the core level. If you can ask permission to have a better system, we wouldn't need Bitcoin. We just ask for fucking permission to have a better system and they would give us a better system. Like, that doesn't work. Like, the whole point is to fucking opt out and have tools that are able to resist any kind of interference.
Yeah. And again, I'm going to be clear. I'm not cheering on the SEC here, but for anybody with more than 2 brain cells that has been paying attention for any point of the last 8 years, like, this has been highly choreographed. Like, we knew it was coming, and to act surprised that it's actually happening makes you look like a complete idiot. Sorry. Like, I don't like it. I don't think the SEC should have the ability to step in, but we do live in a reality with certain variables that can be predictable, and this was one of them. And for anybody pearl clutching right now, like, we told you so. Like, again, not a big fan of it, but it was very obvious that it was going to happen at some point, and it's happening now at a very opportune time when the scapegoat narrative is ripe for taking advantage of. So yeah, with that being said too, if you have any Bitcoin or shitcoin, if you have shitcoins on Coinbase, convert them to Bitcoin and then send that Bitcoin off of Coinbase immediately.
Well, so I mean, I have a almost bolder prediction than $1 million Bitcoin in 84 days.
To that.
And I'm curious, this time feels like this the moment where Bitcoin separates from all the shit coins? Like, is this the moment? Because it's kind of, I mean, it might just be fucking confirmation bias, because I always try and hedge it, because there's always these moments, right? And then some fucking new shitcoin comes out, and then it fucking like goes crazy, and then everyone's just talking about that shitcoin. Like Solana did it last fucking time. But like all the ETH people, there's like a bunch of ETH people, they're stuck in their staking because they, and the fucking token is just going down in ETH BTC terms, and everything, all the other shit coins are all down in Bitcoin terms. They're all getting crushed. And it feels like a proper flight to safety to Bitcoin. Like this is something we've talked about in the past. And you look at the traditional assets, right? It's like the stock market is down and flat. Gold is really not performing that high. And then Bitcoin's just fucking ripping. So like Bitcoin's ripping and everything else is either going down in Bitcoin terms. Like, is this that moment or am I just overshooting again? I might be overshooting again, but I feel like that moment's going to happen at some point, and it might be right now.
You've never overshot this. I'm always the one saying this. Like, next cycle is the one cycle where people finally recognize, like the regulatory crackdowns.
I know.
And people are going to realize, you're like, no, shitcoins are going to be around forever. I agree. I think.
Well,
like,
yeah. Well, I mean, I still think I overshoot. I still think shitcoins will be around forever. I just wonder if this is the separation time.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, separation from both shitcoins and the traditional system. I mean, Bitcoin has been trading inversely to bank stocks this year so far. It's completely diverging, not only from banks, but it's outperforming stocks, which are still up slightly on the year. But I think the narrative from Bitcoin as a safe haven in a very uncertain and fragile incumbent financial system, that's beginning to really settle into people's minds. They're really beginning to internalize the value prop of Bitcoin in real time. And then, yes, I mean, the shitcoins are essentially leveraged fiat bets where, like, if this crackdown is really happening, if the banking system is really failing, why would I risk taking a leverage bet on fiat via shitcoins when I could find safe harbors in Bitcoin? I think that's definitely happening. I think a lot of the, and I think it's happening first in quote unquote crypto, where people are noticing the crackdowns, noticing the bank failures, and recognizing Bitcoin's value prop compared to the shitcoins. They're actually dumping their shitcoins for Bitcoin because they know it has the best shot of actually weathering the storm.
Certainly feels that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Weird times. I mean, and so to add more context to
Bitcoin. Yeah. Go on.
Well, there's more context to add with the events of this week. Like, obviously here in America, we've been hyper focused on the banking failures, the Fed's reaction, the rate hikes, what's going on in the European banking sector. But as all this is going on, you have the BRICS countries making power moves as well. I wrote about this last night. I mean, China is on a mission right now. They're brokering a peace deal between Saudi Arabia and Iran, which is historical. And nobody thought that would ever happen, that you'd have the leaders of Saudi Arabia and Iran shaking hands, which happened earlier this week. He went straight from that peacemaking meeting to Russia to strengthen their economic and political relationship there, where they agreed that Russia is going to send a lot of energy to China and will be settled in yuan. At the same time, you have Mexico, our southern neighbor, signaling, hey, we're not really happy with the U.S. right now. We're thinking about joining the BRICS countries. And so as our house is on fire, we're really focused on the banking sector and what's going on in Europe's banking sector. All these other countries are making a power grab that is taking advantage of the moment. And again, we're talking China as in the middle of all these deals, but really the signal is Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia signaled in January of this year, a couple months ago, that, hey, we're open to settling oil trades and other currencies, particularly mentioned the yuan and the euro. And now fast forward to this week, China's brokering a peace deal between Saudi Arabia and Iran. And you know, if they're doing that, they're going to want something on the back end, which is like, hey, I'm going to take you up on that loose offer to settle in yuan. And I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the summer, not even this
Putin
year.
Putin came out and said it, right?
Yes.
Putin came out and said it, that he's going to buy oil, like he's going to do trades with Saudis and other countries with the yuan, right? Like he's not doing it in rubles. He's not doing it in euros. He can't do it in euros because of sanctions. He obviously can't do it in dollars because of sanctions. And he's going to do it in yuan.
Well, I don't know.
In the Chinese fiat.
Well, I think it was China specific because Russia will be sending their oil and gas or their natural gas predominantly to China and settle in yuan. Because I don't know how much energy trade happens between Russia and Saudi Arabia unless they're importing oil from Saudi Arabia. I'm not sure they need to do that. So I think it's happening on two fronts, Russia, China, and then Saudi, China.
No, well. But they're trading non-energy resources.
Yes, yeah.
With Saudis and yuan. Is my understanding. So like there is trade between the Russians and the Saudis. Maybe, you know, obviously they're both energy rich, so they're probably not trading energy back and forth with each other. But I think that trade is going to be conducted in yuan and then settled in gold.
Yeah. So we have the BRICS countries plus Saudi
Arabia.
Which
is the thesis. We've been talking about this for a while.
Yeah, the oil wars.
And then it breaks down. Then we go to a Bitcoin standard.
Well, that's
the thesis.
Yes. And this is what I read about.
That trust will break down. Like you can't trust the Chinese.
No. The Saudis have proven to be trustworthy.
Any of them. That's the whole point. That's why you need Bitcoin, because it's money for enemies, money without trust.
Yeah. No, and I think while things are crazy over here and things seem to be burning to the ground and unraveling rather quickly, presents an incredible opportunity. Like, while let the BRICS countries go do their yuan/gold settle trade. What we should do here, and it probably can't be a message that comes from the federal government, is just allow the states to be receptive to Bitcoin, allow American citizens to hold Bitcoin, to receive Bitcoin, to send Bitcoin, to mine Bitcoin, to do whatever they want with their Bitcoin, and we could significantly undercut the power grab that the BRICS countries are making right now. And there has been positive trends in that direction over the last week since we last recorded, mainly a bill being presented down the street here at the Texas legislature, which would allow Texas citizens to hold Bitcoin, send Bitcoin, receive Bitcoin, mine Bitcoin. Their right to hold Bitcoin will not be intruded on by the federal government. Hopefully that passes the legislature this year. You have many senators coming out ardently against the CBDC, and you had Governor DeSantis do something similar. So Ted Cruz presented a bill that would make it illegal for the Fed to offer a CBDC to American citizens. DeSantis came out and outright said, you'll never force a CBDC on Floridians. So again, things are chaotic right now, but there is an incredible opportunity.
Just to go back to the Texas proposal, I don't know if it is likely to pass or not. Proposal. It covers the rights of miners, users, and developers in Texas. And I just wanted to like huge shout out to Bitcoin Policy Institute. Like the team over there was like instrumental in getting this through. There is a lot of work being done on other states as well. I can't really say more than that. But what a fantastic politics! But like, that's a great proposal.
Agreed, and hopefully, my fellow Texans, hat tip to all of you down the street in the legislature, really pushed us through. Because that's the way I understand it. Texas legislature meets once every 18 months or 2 years, so they don't vote that often. So if it doesn't pass this time around, we'll have to wait till like 2025, which would not be ideal. So hopefully we can get it in now. That creates a beachhead, sends a signal to the rest of the country. Like, hey, Texas, we're for Bitcoin. We want people to be able to mine, to code, to hold, to send, to receive. And that can be something that's replicated across the country because it's desperately needed. Because if two tracks here, federal, state, luckily we live in a federal system where the states have rights. And if we're looking at the federal government, they want to hold control of power to the very end. And we were mentioning choke point 2.0. Who knows if it's actually happening right now, but if it is, like, that's the last hope we have here, is the state standing up and saying, no, like, you guys fucked things up beyond belief. You're not going to intrude on the rights of the people living within our borders in this state.
Yeah, I mean, I just, Bitcoin feels really scarce right now, Marty. I really feel like I was at Bitcoin Park the other day and I kind of like lost my cool a little bit talking with some friends, just like not having enough Bitcoin. Like, that is where like, people keep saying, when caps Odell. I'm trying my best to keep caps Odell under the surface, freaks.
Oh no.
Bitcoin feels so scarce. Bitcoin feels so fucking scarce right now. I don't remember the last time Bitcoin felt this fucking scarce. Massive FOMO, even though I'm all in.
Yeah. So you're getting frustrated because your friends and family don't have enough Bitcoin.
Or us, we don't have enough Bitcoin. Nobody, remember, Marty, how like I said to you, I was like, Marty, why do we have 10 minutes worth of ads in the front of RHR? And you were like, Matt, every episode, you won't shut up. You're like, this is the most Bitcoin we'll ever make, ever. Like, this is it. Like, it's over. Like, we're at peak Sats earning potential. One, I feel higher than that in terms of, you know, Bitcoin is scarce.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're going to find out how scarce Bitcoin is. Will it run to 1 million by the middle of June? Probably not, but I think it could make some serious gains between now and then.
I'm cool with like a humble 75K, you know?
Yeah, I'd be cool with that too. I'd be cool with 30K.
I don't need $1 million Bitcoin in 84 days.
No.
It's better for everyone involved if it's a little bit more gradual. If it's like a God green candle and we just start going crazy up. Like, first of all, that is a much bigger issue societally, like with our traditional financial system, which is clearly fucked. But then second of all, you know, it'll be crazy. And also, I mean, that's like the perfect recipe to scapegoat Bitcoiners. It's just like everyone will be in pain and it's just like Bitcoiners will be all caps, you know, just like to the moon.
Don't dance.
I will not be dancing, but there'll be a lot of dancing.
No, I mean, but that's like, again, they're going to try and scapegoat Bitcoiners, but again, it's a scapegoat for a reason because they've messed it up. So that's what worries me. Like, what's happened, what's unfolded in the last 2 days between Powell and Yellen is really unnerving. Like, they are extremely, extremely nervous. You can tell they're visibly nervous. They're visibly worried about what's going on behind the scenes. And that is their one job, is to exude confidence on the markets that they know what they're doing, and they've just done a terrible job at doing that in the last 2 days. And I think it's simply because the weight and the gravity of the situation is so heavy that they can't even put on their game face to exude confidence. They are that worried, and when they're freaking out and it's their job just to exude confidence, and their one job is to not freak out, to be very particular with their language and very particular with their body language, verbal and body language, and they're fumbling the ball in both regards over the last 2 days. It's not a good signal.
Yeah, I mean, this was something I learned in 2008, right? That there's no adults in the room. Everyone has any fucking idea what's going on. This feels like that times 100.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, they've kicked the can down the road so many times. Like, I think that's why they're so worried, is because they don't have, the can has evaporated. They can't kick it. There's nothing to kick. The road, it's Truman Show. We fucking reached the painted wall and you can't kick it down the road any further. And it seems like they're beginning to recognize that. And so, yeah. And that's the other thing. The doublespeak is very strong right now. I'll put that Dylan LeClaire tweet in the Slack, Logan. I mean, part of Powell's comments yesterday is we're raising hikes 25 bip. We're hiking rates 25 bips. We're continuing quantitative tightening. So there's two aspects to the monetary policy in both directions. You raise rates, but you don't always have to pull money out of the economy. As you're raising rates, you can raise rates and then pull money out. And similarly on the back end, you can lower rates and not put money back in. But like when it comes to quantitative tightening versus quantitative easing, those two particular terms, tightening is when you're taking dollars out of the system, and easing is when you're putting them in. And as we can see here from Dylan's tweet that he sent out a few hours ago, the total assets that the Fed holds on their balance sheet is skyrocketing up, almost reaching 2008 levels. Not quite near 2020 levels yet, but they're not tightening the balance sheet anymore. They're easing the balance sheet. They're putting more money into the economy, even as they're raising rates slightly. So there was some doublespeak yesterday too.
Well, I mean, that's what people that are aware realize, right? Is because not only that, but the fact is everyone was expecting them to do a half a percent, 50 basis points for this increase, right? So the fact that they only did 25, even though they raised, is a clear sign that they realize that they've pretty much run out of time, run out of room. I mean, they really ran out of room a while ago, but they're starting to realize that. And that's why like Bitcoin not only rebounded, stocks seem to have rebounded a bit as well. Like if you look at the S&P seems to have rebounded. People are expecting money printer go burr like way, way, way hotter than we even have right now, is essentially the consensus expectation among people that have like major money in these markets.
Yeah. And so, if you just look at the chart, like both 2008 and 2020, like those jumps happen after they announced that they were going to cut rates and print money. They haven't even done that. They're still raising rates and still trying to posture like they're tightening, but they're obviously easing despite what they're saying. And just imagine what that chart's going to look like when they actually do reverse course, lower rates, and begin pouring money into the economy. It's that y-axis is going to have to extend higher, much higher. And then, yeah, I mean, another thing that people are not paying enough attention to is this power move by the BRICS countries as well. Because again, going back to Saudi Arabia, one of the core pillars of the dollar reserve system that makes it the global reserve currency is Saudi Arabia agreeing to settle their oil trades in dollars. Everybody has to convert their local currency into dollars before buying oil from Saudi Arabia. At least that's what it's been like for the last many decades. And if that changes in the middle of this banking crisis, like the dollar loses one of the most integral pillars that it has as the reserve currency of the world. And then you could just imagine the cascading fall of confidence that comes from that, even if the yuan / gold backed currency is not good.
And I mean, it was inevitable, a bit of a self-inflicted wound with the Russian sanctions. It hastened it. It sped it up. But I mean, I think this was this. First of all, you are absolutely correct, Marty. No one is paying attention to this aspect. There's like a dozen of us. But this was the rabbit hole recap thesis for years, right? Is you know, first you start to see these countries move away from the dollar-backed currency. And then when that trust inevitably breaks down, because it will break down, then Bitcoin exists as basically the only other option available. There is no alternative to Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Because remember that story? I mean, even at the core, like gold, remember that, what was that, a Russian plane that just like gold fell out of the plane? Like,
yeah, it's just landing on farmers' land. Uh-oh. I think we lost Matt. Matt's got bad Wi-Fi. Got to ad-lib here. Logan, what should I ad-lib on? What do you want me to expound upon?
Is it happening, Marty?
I think it is happening, Logan. I think it is happening. Logan just asked if it's happening.
We're in the Odell household because $1 million Bitcoin's coming, so don't want to spend all our sats before that happens.
Yeah. It's Yeah, Tom. Shout out to Tom in the chat. Let the yuan battle with the dollar. But again, I agree there will be this transitionary period where like they try to I think it's going to be a very short period. Like I think as soon as the dollar, like the dollar's not even going to be battling with the yuan. As soon as Saudi leaves and it's clear that we have to print trillions, like the dollar's going to collapse. The confidence in the dollar, who knows? You'll still be able to use it as a transactional currency. It'll just not be as reliable, even though it's not been very reliable. It will be even less reliable moving forward. And then the yuan, gold-backed currency, like I think that is a very short-lived period. I think, again, we live in the age of social media, the age of instant dispersion of information, and people don't learn the hard lesson until they're forced to. They're going to be forced to learn the hard lesson of how money actually works and what money is better than others. So they're going to be doing that deep research, and I think it's going to be glaringly obvious to most people around the world that Bitcoin is superior to the yuan/gold-backed reserve system that they're trying to erect.
I mean, it's so much, Bitcoin beats it by a wide margin, and they'll realize eventually. Maybe they already realized. Maybe that's part of the reason why hash rate's skyrocketing. Maybe Putin's mining in force.
Well, hash rate's skyrocketing. I mean, yeah, we can talk some Bitcoin network details here. Pull up this page, Logan. Put it in Slack. Insights.brains.com. Hash rate's pumping because hash price is pumping. Hash price has jumped to 8.5 cents from a low of like a couple months ago, like 6.5 cents. So hash price is up 30% in a relatively short period of time. So it's much more profitable to mine Bitcoin as the price has gone up and hash rate has not moved commensurately with that price jump. So the jump in hash rate should not be surprising as the price has risen because simply the market dynamics have made it such that it's now profitable for some miners that were sitting on the sidelines to mine Bitcoin. In that section, hit hash price and value. Yeah. So you can see that jump there towards the end. You have a divergence from the hash value and the hash price. So you're getting more cuck bucks per sat mined.
Because mempools are fucking busy right now.
Mempools are busy, prices up. It's a combination of the two. And if you get, yeah, go to transaction fees next because that's an important chart. That's trending up.
I also think if you want to allocate a significant amount of money to Bitcoin, the easiest way is to buy hash, especially right now while hash is very cheap.
Agreed. We are, I am aping into ASICs right now myself.
I really like, it's a shame because I mean, I don't know if it's a shame. It's not a shame, but it really does seem that the one path for American dominance to continue is if they just print a shit ton of money and just buy Bitcoin with it, and they'll just never do it. But that is, it's the, we have the reserve currency and we can print the same shitcoin our debt is priced in, and they could just buy so much Bitcoin and there'd be like another American century. But honestly, like I don't know if that's, I think it's better if we just build it back up from the grassroots and
Well, I prefer that too. I prefer more Americans waking up and just adopting it themselves. I don't want the senile people in DC getting control of a lot of Bitcoin and using it to further their tyranny on us.
I will never run for president. But if I were, my
this is the beginning of a campaign right here.
My platform would be you give every American family a cold card and a shotgun, and then you give them $5,000 money and just give them $5,000 worth of Bitcoin, and then you just keep doing that until the dollar is completely devalued. And then I think we'd have like the next great American century.
But I want it to be known, I'm optimistic about the future of America. I think we individual Americans are going to figure it out. And think about it. Let's take an optimistic silver lining on this. The government that has mismanaged everything and the banking system that has led to all this boom bust cycle fragility, they're failing right now. They're going to get out of the way. We're going to be able to build things back up ourselves. It's a beautiful thing. They're the ones stopping progress, the ones holding us back.
I mean, that's my thesis. That's always been my thesis. That's Citadel theory, right? That's been the thesis since like 2015 when that crazy person wrote on Reddit. and that it was like anti-Bitcoin. He thought he was being anti-Bitcoin about Citadel theory. Build it up from local strong communities. And you know, that's what you're doing on the ground right now in Austin. That's what we're doing on the ground right now in Nashville. But that's like a proper foundation for the future. And you can't do it from a top-down approach, period.
No, it's impossible. It has led us to this shit show. Breaking news, we have had a difficulty adjustment, upward adjustment of 7.6%. We're currently 2014 blocks away from the next adjustment, which is estimated to be on April 5th. So, difficulty's higher. Let's see if it affected hash price immediately. Definitely did.
Mempool's never clearing again.
Yeah, you know, maybe the government figures things out. The ordinals crowd gets disinterested. And mempool's clear.
Maybe.
We shall see. What else? What else should we touch on? Hey, Rob Burt. His hat only looks funny because I have to wear these headphones like this. For you listening at home, I have a cowboy hat on, and it looks pretty badass, despite what Rob Burt says in the comments on YouTube.
Somebody earlier called you a Mennonite corn stacking DJ.
I'll take that. What else do we have to talk about?
No Streaka happened this weekend. It seems straight high signal. I was very bummed I couldn't make it. It's pretty fucking beautiful to watch that protocol get built out in real time.
Yeah. I mean, it's impressive. I think we mentioned it. I'm not sure if we mentioned it on the show, but DJ built. I should stop saying we. It's all him building. I just say, this would be cool. And then he goes and builds it. Shout out to DJ. But he built a webhook in ScriptSat that allows you to put a little code injection on the bottom of your Ghost site. And as soon as you publish to Ghost, it goes to the, I believe, NIP33 compatible clients on Nostr. So any of the Medium, Substack, blogging clients will immediately syndicate that on Nostr via ScriptSat. And it's crazy how fast it is. Like last night, I posted the newsletter, and before it even hit my inbox, it was posted on Nostr.
I've hated email newsletters for a long time, and there's a lot of room for improvement there. And I feel like Nostr fixes that. Nostr is just an interoperable communication protocol. Very powerful. There's so many different implications there. I was watching the live stream. No Bullshit Bitcoin did really good live coverage as well. And it just seemed like it was straight high signal. It seems like they got a lot of things done down there. There's a lot of good people, a lot of good vibes. So just shout out to everyone who was able to make it down there, and shout out to everyone who's building on Nostr. I think it's very complementary to Bitcoin too. Abilities when you integrate Bitcoin and Nostr. And yes, a lot of people are using custodial wallets, Lightning wallets with it, but it is early days, and it's up to us to make sure that in 3 years that is not the case.
Yeah, I mean, Ben, who typically gets shooed out of this studio and other studios by me, he posted this as what was a 95% of wallets on Nostr custodial. Many using Wallet of Satoshi. Yeah, I mean, I'll be second.
It's part of it because they integrated Lightning address, which, you know, uses LNURL, which has a lot of friction with using self-custody mobile wallets. This is one of the reasons why I'm a big proponent of Bolt 12. Hopefully we get Bolt 12 sometime soon. Easier to use your own node and use these self-custody wallets in a way that you can stream payments. I still really like, I love Keysend, where you just put the pub key in our podcast feed and you can run your node behind Tor at home and you just put the fucking pub key in and people can stream you sats. It's super simple. I don't know why we don't use Keysend more. But yeah, I mean, LNURL is here right now. It works.
We lost Matt again. LNURL does work, but it's not good for privacy. Many people are leveraging custodial solutions to do LNURL addresses, LN addresses. But I did see on Habla, which is one of these blog clients on Nostr, Lurking Cat posted an article that teaches you how to send and receive non-custodial Zap and self-hosted NIPO 5 via your mobile phone. So you can set up this non-custodial receiving functionality on Nostr via this tutorial. So we'll link to that in the show notes too. And so like Habla,
yeah, that's another. We need to reduce friction though. Friction needs to be reduced. But I think also not only friction, it's most of these custodians are going to get hit with KYC or shut down. Reality of the situation.
Yeah, agreed. But while we're on it, like again, I'm like nerding out over these Nostr clients. So Habla, I'm saying Habla. It's Habla, Spanish for speak. I'm very cultured. If you go to the bottom of this article, Logan, this is the newsletter I posted last night. Got automatically syndicated to Nostr. Keep going down, and like this is one thing, like Ghost doesn't even have this. Keep going down all the way to the bottom, right there. So like Ghost, great publisher, and I put in these tags so you can see Marty's Bent. That's always the first tag because that's the page it goes to on the website. Then Bitcoin, China, Russia, Iran, Saudi Arabia, blah blah blah, put in all these tags, and Ghost makes it hard to find these tags, but like Habla somehow picks it up immediately and puts it at the bottom. So click Bitcoin in the tags, and this is like the really cool thing. Like it's universal, so keep going down. Like that, I was the last one to tag Bitcoin on Nostr, but if you just click the tag, you can go find. There's another Ben. You can go find any article on these particular topics. So click Marty's Ben there, and then it's like in terms of like discovery,
like it's not working.
No, it's not working.
So we're just saying everyone who posts to this should tag their thing Marty's Bent. So when people click Marty's.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. But click another tag. Click like Russia. Let's see if you can find.
No, but it is cool that there's like this open discovery platform, essentially.
Yeah.
Or open discovery protocol almost, right? Because it's not. Theoretically, like Habla is the first one that's doing this long form Nostr net. The other sites that'll do long form Nostr as well. Open protocol.
Yeah, and that's what I'm wondering.
They can all use the same tagging system.
Yeah, because I do the tags in Ghost and it just picks it up. And I imagine if you're natively publishing something.
DJ makes sure DJ makes sure that the tags also get broadcast is what he's doing.
There we go. Thank you, DJ.
The magic you're thinking about is named DJ.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. Shout out to DJ. I don't know where he is. I never know where he is. He's just roaming the world, building cool shit.
Fritz, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about my internet. I, you know, jokes aside, I am spending sats on internet, so I will make sure. I'll figure it out. This is newish internet, and I'll troubleshoot it. Yeah. It's been working really well up until today.
Up until we needed a call best.
Right before this. I've been having the issue, so I'll troubleshoot.
Please, for the freaks, come here for one thing. It's to see your face in high definition, to have uninterrupted rants from our boy Matt Odell. And they come to see me in a fucking sick-ass cowboy hat. What else do we got? We told our wives this would be a tight rip, going through no bullshit Bitcoin. I mean, you want to talk to Hindenburg Research? I think that was a bit unfair to cash out.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a short seller that's going after Block, Square. One thing that was interesting there was they mentioned Bitcoin twice in it. If you control F, Bitcoin was only mentioned twice. And I feel like there's a lot of ammunition to attack them in terms of Bitcoin, just because it's low-hanging fruit. People like attacking people over Bitcoin. And they didn't. Makes me believe that it's about Bitcoin.
Yeah. I mean, because that's...
Well,
I was discussing it with Parker. I mean, obviously, Mark Cahotas went on his short selling vendetta against Silvergate. And I think that's the trend right now. All these short sellers smell blood in the water, and they're just looking for the public equities that have crypto or Bitcoin exposure that they want to short. Obviously, Square or Block is one of the few out there. Because if you really think about it, like, this fraud could be enabled via Zelle on JP Morgan, Bank of America. It can be enabled via PayPal. Like, it's not unique to Cash App, I would say. Disclaimer, Cash App used to be a sponsor of this podcast.
I mean, you don't have to disclaimer that. The fraud, the fraud is all on the TradFi. There's always this battle in fintech between keeping low friction versus, you know, doing too much KYC because it adds friction to stop fraud versus fraud. And you kind of do a balancing act, and you're willing to take some levels of fraud to keep friction lower, because at the end of the day, users don't want to go through all these different waiting periods and everything, right? So all of their complaints are wrong. The thing is like, if you're talking about, if there is a theoretical attack on regulated exits from the fiat system into Bitcoin, let's call it what it is, right? Like, these aren't Bitcoin on-ramps. These are exits from the fiat system. Like, you want to run your bank, like, the easiest way to run your bank is to fucking buy Bitcoin and withdraw it to self-custody. Because then you're also running the entire fractional reserve system. You're not just running your bank. But Cash App is the behemoth in the room, right? They're this regulated company selling billions of dollars worth of Bitcoin every year. You know, massively valuable company. As long as they're there, as long as Cash App exists, Block, Jack basically transitioned Block into a full-on Bitcoin company. They're making ASICs, they're making hardware wallets, they have Lightning support, they have a full open source development team that's working on they're supporting BDK, they're supporting Bitcoin privacy projects. Like, it's straight up a Bitcoin company that's publicly traded, that's worth tens of billions of dollars, you know, and as long as that behemoth stays there, you can't really block off any kind of regulated exits. So, yeah. I mean, they would be the target.
Yeah, we have a comment here from a mine, Chakak. They didn't because they would attract attention to their profit center, short seller. As a short seller, that's just dumb. I mean, the way short selling works is you build your position and then you drop a report hoping that it tanks the stock. So you actually, that's why all these short sellers go on these large public campaigns, is because they've set up their position and they're looking to profit from it. So it actually enables. No,
what he's saying is they make a bunch of money on Bitcoin. So Hindenburg doesn't want to talk about it because it shows that
they're profitable. Not a good short. My bad. Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's what he's saying.
I misspoke here. It is a big profit driver.
That is the logical take. But the paranoid take is that they're going after Cash App because it's the number, you know, it's the largest entity that allows you to exit into Bitcoin.
Yeah, they're selling a lot of Bitcoin, as we talked about a month ago. Actually, probably should wrap up on this. Another report, this time from the White House, attacking Bitcoin. Was it their economic advisory report? Had a 50-page section on crypto assets, mentioned Bitcoin.
It was 20 pages.
20 pages still. A lot of space. Yeah. So the Biden administration doesn't like Bitcoin.
Their conclusion, it was Biden's presidential annual report to Congress, economic report to Bitcoin. And the conclusion was that it was irrelevant and not competitive against the dollar. But why did they dedicate 20 fucking pages to it if it's so irrelevant?
Yeah. It doesn't have any value as a money. If that's the case, then shouldn't be taxed. No value. Why would you tax it?
And they had a part in it where they said Bitcoin still hasn't chosen to move to proof of stake.
Yeah. Ethereum's proven that you can transition.
Just a comment.
Yeah. So the Biden administration is completely lost. I mean, going back, I put this in the newsletter last night too. It's fucking, excuse my language, baffling that you have this banking crisis going on. Biden administration press secretary sort of like hand waving it away. Everything's fine. Don't look here. The European crisis going on. And Joe and Jill Biden had the cast of Ted Lasso in the Oval Office on Monday for a nice picture opportunity, for a nice photo op. That's where the priorities are, is virtue signaling to the masses who are stuck to their TVs. Hey, we're cool. Got the cast of Ted Lasso, 80% of which is from the UK in the White House. Don't look at the burning banks. Don't look at the crumbling infrastructure. Don't look at our annual economic report that shits on Bitcoin and says it's valueless. Look at us.
You want to talk about real bread and circuses, Marty? The majority of the country is paying attention to March Madness right now, watching all those unpaid student athletes.
They're paid now.
Around the court,
they're getting paid now.
Yeah.
Schools
pay them?
It's like weird. I forget how it works, but they get paid. They can do endorsements.
I thought it was just endorsements.
Yeah, they can do endorsements. Right? Yeah. I'm pretty sure boosters can like pay them too. There's like you can set up like a LLC or something with loose affiliation to the school that can then funnel funds.
That was one of the best South Parks of all time.
Yeah. I mean, it's been going on for quite some time now. It's just formalized. Players getting duffel bags of cash. Lendell White, I think he was on a podcast recently, and they asked, I think it was part of my take at Barstool. They're like, so like, what was like the biggest amount of money you ever got one hit? And he was like, yeah, at one point at USC, a booster left me a duffel bag with $250K in it. Just like, he was a Heisman Trophy winner too, I'm pretty sure. But I have not been paying attention to the tournament at all. I think I've watched like the end of one game loosely.
I have a bunch of buddies who just went to the Sweet 16 because the Vols are in the Sweet 16.
Isn't the Sweet 16 this weekend? It starts today.
Yeah. It's right now, I believe. I believe we're competing with it.
Well,
all the freaks are watching.
Thank you, freaks, for if any freaks are watching, give us a score update. Not that we really care, but yeah, shit's fucked up. It's happening. Make sure you get your Bitcoin off exchanges into wallets you control. You have 84 days before Bitcoin hits $1 million, and it's going to be really hard to get a whole Bitcoin. Can you imagine if it actually hit $1 million?
No, it's hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine,
Mark. If it hits $1 million, Shreeks, I mean, who knows what's going to happen? As I said in the beginning of the episode, it would not be. This type of 3.5 sigma move has happened in Bitcoin's history in 2011. Would not be abnormal. I mean, it would be abnormal, but it's not an impossibility. It has happened before. I think that might be the end of rabbit hole recap. Not because
it only happens with hyperinflation. That's the only way it happens. Period. Yeah. And hyperinflation would be fucking dark.
Yeah. Like we probably
it will be dark.
We probably wouldn't
because it's gonna happen eventually.
Probably wouldn't be able to do a rabbit hole recap. The only way we'd be able to do it is we were bunkered up. I don't think I'd be able to do it from the comments.
No, we would do it. My internet would still be. Might be worse. We'd do it through like ham radio.
Yeah, it's a bit poetic that you cut out in the while you were explaining that. No, I can't tell.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Freaks. I'll figure out the internet. I'll figure it out. Just give me a little bit of time. New situation.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that.
Will, we don't want the central banks to start buying Bitcoin. That's how they fucked up gold.
I don't think so. Like, my theory on paper Bitcoin is relatively simple. Like, why is Bitcoin better than gold? Bitcoin's better than gold because it's easy to take custody. It's very easy to trade. You want to trade $4 million, $5 million worth of gold, you need to get like armored trucks and shit and planes and things to send it around. And it's very easy to verify because you can easily run a computer and verify that the Bitcoin is legit. That's what makes Bitcoin better than gold. Those are the three main reasons. So gold has to deal with paper gold all the time. That's suppressing the price and causing all this bullshit. Bitcoin, I think what happens is we have people that get greedy and play around with paper Bitcoin, like FTX, BlockFi, Genesis, DCG, all the big players. And then humble stackers are just constantly stacking and holding and using their own node. And those guys get blown the fuck up. And when they get blown the fuck up, spot Bitcoin takes over again. The market gets reset and you have proper price discovery where Bitcoin gets very scarce, right? Bitcoin goes up in price. Then we like start to get overexposed on that front. People start playing with paper Bitcoin again at a higher price level. Those guys all get wrecked. And then we rinse and repeat over. That's why Bitcoin's insulated from paper Bitcoin, but it's not like we won't have paper Bitcoin. Like, there will be paper Bitcoin.
There is paper Bitcoin. There was paper Bitcoin at FTX.
There was, and they all got wrecked. And yeah, now we're in a situation where we actually have a proper market again, but the paper Bitcoin will come back.
Yeah, I forget who I was saying this to earlier, but honestly, last year was a blessing in disguise for Bitcoin because you had all the leverage shit get wiped out. Like, the marginal, like the dislocation from traditional markets is probably mainly driven by the fact that there are very few, if any, marginal sellers left, people trading on leverage or with exposure to paper Bitcoin. And the people that are left are Bitcoiners who understand the inherent fragility of the financial and banking system. And they're not going to, they see the writing on the wall. Like, they're not going to sell sats right now. So there's very few sellers. Yeah, the narrative forming perfectly right now, even though it's a bit scary to see unfold, but it is forming perfectly. And then all it takes is a day like today where Bitcoin dumped to low 27s and bounced right back up to mid 28s, where enough people who are on the periphery or maybe outside thinking about Bitcoin see it with relative strength and say, oh shit, this is no joke. They begin to pile in.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, Bitcoin feels really scarce right now. Yeah. Because we've just wiped out all the paper Bitcoin people. there's no sellers. I mean, there's a seller for every trade. Let's be honest. There's always a, every buy has a sell on the opposite side. But Bitcoin feels very scarce right now.
Yeah, those willing to sell at this, these price
levels. Return to proper Bitcoin markets rather than paper Bitcoin markets.
Yes. Oh, we forgot it last week. Can't forget it 2 weeks in a row. We'll do shout outs, boostograms, and then we'll make the announcement. Or should we just do, should we do the announcement now?
There was one more thing I wanted to cover. I was just scrolling No Bullshit Bitcoin. That if you redacted images in their markup tool, like the built-in markup tool, if you cropped images or try to blur images or put black cover up on images, for the last 5 years, it could get removed after the fact. Yeah, so just FYI, if you did that, be aware. You just got fucked.
Be aware. All your nudes are leaked.
That's pretty bad.
That is bad.
It's a pretty bad one.
All right. On to shout-outs. Just making sure that we're lined up here. I got to read 2 weeks. One of them's on me. First one. So it doesn't make sense to read it. Now I'm going to read it out of respect for...
We tweeted it out, though. Tweeted it out of respect. But yeah, you read it.
BISC Market Day is on next Monday, which is actually the Monday that just passed, the 20th of March. Show your support for the KYC-free P2P exchange that cannot be shut down, creating an offer and kickstart a new market. Join the BISC community on Matrix, https://bisc.chat. Become a part of the Bitcoin on-ramps as they should be, peer-to-peer, even though Monday, the 20th, was KYC-free P2P exchange day. You could still go support BISC and go use it. Check out that chat on Matrix. Next shout out, which is timely, safe travels to all Bitcoiners traveling to Beechworth in Australia for the autumn bush bash. Shout out to our bush bash brothers and sisters over on the prisoner island of Australia. Have fun. Have fun at the bush bash. Last shout out ever. Last shout out ever. We'll explain why after this. Sup freaks, this is your official invite to the Rhode Islanders Bitcoin meetup. That's right, one group for the whole damn state. Meetups are scheduled for the first Wednesday of every month, so the next gathering will be April 5th at Bayberry Beer Hall in Providence at 6:30 p.m. That's April 5th at Bayberry Beer Hall in Providence. Whether you're just starting your journey and want to have an in-person conversation, learn more, or you've been running your own Lightning Node for years, feel free to stop by and hang out with fellow Bitcoiners. Follow our Twitter at RIBitcoiners, at RIBitcoiners, or check us on Meetup for more info, meetup.com/road-island-bitcoin-meetup-group. Matt, put that in the show notes. Some facts about the Ocean State. We are home to the longest-running 4th of July parade dating back to 1785, as well as the oldest operating restaurant in the U.S., the White Horse Tavern. I've been to White Horse Tavern. It's a pretty cool place. Opened since 1673. Words for Marty. Pronounce Mantinuk, Quanachantog, Miss Quamakit. Looking forward to seeing y'all at Bayberry Beer Hall on April 5th at 6:30 p.m. Miss Quinn, I think I got that. I think I nailed all this.
I don't think you did.
I think I might have.
Think you did.
I think we might have. Announcement, last shout out ever. Why? Because it's just easier to do the boostergrams.
Yeah, we're moving to boostergrams.
Yeah.
Boostergrams only from now on. No more shout outs. Top 4 boostergrams get read every week. Nice and simple. We appreciate you freaks for supporting us.
Yes. Makes it easier. We don't have to sweep our BTC Pay server. The way podcasting 2.0 is set up, the boostergrams come and they get split up automatically. There's no work on our end, and it keeps it all in one place. So we don't have to go from BTC Pay server to Fountain, which I'm on now. Top 4 boost of Rabbit Hole Recap number 244. Bitcoin fixes this at Sphenol. 55,555 sats. Northern Lightning 2023, Bergen, Norway, block 781-187.
Awesome.
What block are we at now?
That already happened.
Yeah, it happened like 1,000 blocks ago.
I heard Northern Lightning was awesome. Shout out to everyone involved. That was in Norway.
Our good friend at Eric99, 50,000 sats. Stay humble, stack sats. Thank you, Eric, for your continued support.
Great advice. At
8 Mathander, thank you for the double sats. 14,444 sats. Got rugged by Marty not reading my shout out for Bisc Market Day. I'm sorry. We were in a rush. We were in a rush last week. Market Day was huge.
We tweeted it out in time, unfortunately.
Yes, we tweeted it out. Market Day was huge with 350 trades, including trades in euros, dollars, great British pounds, Brazilian real, Canadian cuck bucks, Australian dollars, whatever the Czech Republic currency is, Danish krona, New Zealand, the Kiwi, NOK. What is that? Is that Hong Kong or not Hong Kong? Is that Korea? The Hong Kong dollar.
What?
NOK.
What are you asking?
What currency is that?
Oh, NOK, the knock.
That is
Corona?
Norwegian krone. Right? Norwegian krone.
Yeah.
Norwegian krone. Danish krone, Norwegian krone, Hong Kong dollar, Swiss franc, Japanese yen, Mexican peso, Chinese yuan, and NGN. What is NGN?
Nigeria?
Naira. Yeah, it's a Naira. Global.
Look at me. I got my fiat down.
Global. Global. Shout out to all you sat stackers.
That's the standard.
Montenegro. Montenegro was one of them. I got one of them wrong. At Fatoshi. 10,000 sats. Okay, we need a new meme to let businesses know they need to stack sats. I humbly suggest hashtag flight to safety with a laser somewhere. Shout out to Jun Seth. Love. Shout out to you, Fatoshi.
Appreciate your support.
All right, and we'll wrap up. Obviously missed it last week, too. Top four of RIP. 243 run on the banks. At NatGas Immersion, 80,085 sats. A boobs boost. Yo, Marty, need some help. Please call ASAP. If you can't find the time, please send Parker. If he's busy, send lawyers, guns, and Bitcoin. Love, Mike. Happy to report to all you freaks. I talked to Mike.
Everything's okay.
Everything's okay. He's fighting the good fight in Colorado. That's all I'll say.
I like the bat, like the fucking bad signal of sending it in boostergrams.
Call me ASAP.
Guns and money, is that what he said?
Send lawyers, guns, and Bitcoin. A play on the song by, is that Elvis Costello? No. God, I'm going to get shit on in the comments. Lawyers, guns, and money. Who is that? No, it's not Costello.
I don't know. We've been getting shit on for 4.5 years. You can take it.
I seen Werewolves of London too, I believe. Who the fuck is that? At Eric99. Logan, do you know? No, he doesn't know. He's an idiot. He's a fucking zoomer. I'm kidding. Stay humble, stack sats. 50,000 sats. Thank you, Eric. At Rhea's dad, 20,000 sats. If you talk about a Fed just going nuts, all the central wankers going nuts. If you're not DCA, you probably should be. From Scotland. Perfect country to get Bitcoin on balance sheet, but fiat scum politicians will not kill golden goose yet. Thanks, Marty and Matt, with the Scottish flag. Warren Zevon.
Yeah, I think it's just
thank
just
you.
To wrap it up. Like, it's better that we, like, fuck these governments. Like, I time.
Agreed. Last but not least, at Germ, 20,000 sets. Thank you, gentlemen, for all you do. Thank you, Germ, for that boost.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. We've got to get to our wives, give them hugs, show them love. Got to get to my kids before bedtime. Got to be present. Love joining you freaks here. We've got families at home who need our love.
More scarce than Bitcoin. Stamble stack sets.
Peace and love, freaks.